You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
All right, 14 teams entered the playoffs. That's it. We got two teams remaining. It's Chiefs, it's Eagles in Super Bowl 57. It'll be played on Sunday, February 12th, 6:30 Eastern on Fox. Patrick Mahomes become the youngest quarterback in NFL history to reach 10 postseason wins. 27 years, 134 days young, if you will. Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky, live in New York City. It's Monday, January 30th. I'm Jamie Erdl. That's Kyle Brandt, Peter Schrager, Jason McCourty. What just made you shake your head and say, wow, there, Kyle Brandt?
Mahomes, the 10 playoff wins. Yeah. He's never played a road playoff game. He's never been eliminated any earlier than the title game round. He's never had a divisional loss. It's an incredible thing. And yet, you don't want to lose two Super Bowls, right? You don't want to go 1-3 in Super Bowls. You got business to take care of, my friend. Great player.
That's a lot to unpack on a championship Sunday. Peter, what do you lean to first after watching those games?
All right, let's just talk the officiating real quick, because that's what everyone wants to talk about. And or not, like... There's being upset with a couple of calls, and then they're saying that you can discredit the Chiefs. And the two things can be separate. You could be upset with the calls if you're a Bengals fan this morning. And, you know, going back through them one by one by one, you can say, well, this wasn't a hold, or that was a hold, and this... That's fine. But you could also give credit to what those Chiefs did yesterday. You're talking about a team that didn't have Juju Smith-Schuster during this game. He did not have Kadarius Toney after he went down. Did not have Hardman after he went down. All the options going in were, hey, we're going to get those guys to step up. They all got injured. They were getting contributions from Sky Moore, Marcus Kemp in big spots, Noah Gray in a big spot. Like, my big takeaway was you could be upset with the officiating as an NFL fan this morning. And we could talk about that and what we got to do over the offseason and discuss how these officials are chosen and what's wrong with why some officials call. That's a separate conversation. But you can also say that the Chiefs had an incredible victory last night and stepped up when a lot of players were injured and a lot of players went down. Guys that they never thought would have to step up in year one and year two, in many examples, did. I thought that was a gritty win by the Chiefs. But I'm also here to say on the NFL's league network with the shield all over us that Bengals fans, you could also be upset with the officiating.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be.
Yeah.
That's the nature of the game. And if you want to go to Twitter and be outraged, that's okay. I think in a couple of days, those wounds will heal. Mm. And you'll realize that, oh, next year, we get a chance to do this thing all over again. And maybe it's our year and we can get over
here. Just looking at the conversation, what's the thing that is the biggest point of contention?
The 3rd and 9.
Yes.
Because of the confusion there. The redo. Also, I think there was multiple holds on the Mahomes 3rd and 8 scramble. But do you want them to be throwing holding calls every single play? Yeah. I mean, look.
There's a hold on every play.
There's a hold on every play. There was a lot of flags yesterday in that game. And if you're a Bengals fan this morning, you want to blame the league, go for it. But you can also appreciate just how good the Chiefs were when it mattered most.
Yep. The officiating snowball is a very tricky one, too, because I think it actually started way back in the Devontae Smith catch or no catch, because the fact that the game wasn't stopped or a challenge and the fact that people think that should be on the officials to have made the right decision in the first place. So it kind of when it starts, it doesn't stop. But then to see the redo, the six times, it felt like they played third and nine six different times. It was just a kind of a brutal bookend.
To your point, 49ers fans were just as pissed on Twitter, too, with officiating. Felt like every single call was going against the 49ers in that game was just added to. For the 49ers, you're watching that game and you just feel bad. You feel bad for the fans. You feel bad for the players, especially the guys on defense as you're watching the game. It was like, how many guys are going to throw a pass for the 49ers in this game? Brock Purdy goes down with an injury. He's only able to throw four passes in that game, and everybody's at home and are just like, just put McCaffrey in the game and let him play quarterback. And it's just like, well, it's not that easy. Like, the offensive coordinator and Shanahan, he's calling the plays. Quarterbacks are the guys that receive those plays and call it. You go Wildcat, you may have a selection of maybe five or six plays to run from the Wildcat. You can't just sit there and call those plays. So it was very tough to watch it. Josh Johnson, the fourth string quarterback, they've already went from Trey Lance to Garoppolo to Brock Purdy. Now Josh Johnson's in the game, and you're looking forward to this matchup so much. And you just felt bad because you're just like, they have no answers. There's nowhere else to turn. There's no quarterback coming out. Steve Young's not warming up to come back in the game. There's nobody for them to turn to at this point. So as you're watching, you looked forward to this great conference championship in the NFC, and it was spoiled because there was no quarterback.
It used to be in the NFL you'd have a third quarterback designation. They got rid of that in recent, you know, Jason, as a NFLPA representation and as someone who's been in these conversations, I'm putting you on the spot. Is that the type of deal where the PA can suggest, hey, moving forward, or is that something that comes out of the league?
I think that's more the competition committee that would probably, and don't quote me, I'm not sure.
I'm asking
but
you.
I think that would be more the league deciding to do that when it comes to rules, and that's all on the competition committee of deciding, hey, like, we need to do this. And I think for fans everywhere watching, I mean, for Fox, like, you have this game on, you would love to have that emergency quarterback to throw in, just somebody who knows how to run the offense. Because the 49ers, I mean, they're down three touchdowns and they're still handing the ball off because Brock Purdy can't throw. He threw two screen passes.
It's a shame.
And it is. Changes
Jimmy's standing right there. Jimmy's health was kind of maybe he could come back. Yeah. He was there and he was in street clothes. It was very strange. What did we learn from this weekend? I think the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl. I'm just going to say it right now. It's 13 days away. And I might be wrong, and I've been wrong before. Last time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, I thought they would win and they lost to the Buccaneers. Not anti-Chiefs at all. It's just pro-Eagles. I think they were the best team of the four. I think they're the best team of the two. You can overthink this very easily. In the games that Jalen Hurts plays, they are 16-1. It's a very, very convincing statistic. Also, so is the fact they've played two playoff games and won them by a combined 55 points. It's not their fault that they knocked the Niners quarterbacks out of the game, both of them with their pass rush. They destroyed the Giants. Look, I think they're healthier. I think there was about 20 minutes into this game, there was the sense of, let's just hope we don't have any big injuries for the Eagles because we are going to win this game. Let's just hope that A.J. Brown or Devontae or certainly Jalen doesn't pull up limping. They didn't. I think this is a perfectly constructed roster. I think the Chiefs isn't quite as perfect. I understand the power of Mahomes, absolutely. I'm just watching these games, and I think, again, I think this was by far the best of the four teams. I think they're the favorite. I think they should be the favorite. I think they should be an easy favorite. Maybe the Chiefs win. 13 days ahead of the game, I think the Eagles are winning the Super Bowl. Mm.
Regardless of your style.
Give that a second there. That's a take, man.
I mean, listen.
They're not favored. Chiefs are favored right now.
I don't know why. I don't make the lines. I don't follow the lines. I just follow the games. 16-1. Like, they're incredible. The O-line, the Deion, those are the lines I follow.
Mahomes has been there. This is another trip.
Understood completely. Kelsey's been there. Lane Johnson's been there.
Hurts didn't throw the ball well either.
It's fun.
When you have done this before, do you internalize, like, now you're going to waver over the next 13 days? Or, Peter, you could speak to this. Like, will he stick to this?
He's got a conviction. And he's not cheering for the Eagles.
I'm not even. I think the Eagles are great team.
Yeah.
And I think the Chiefs have some great players and have played some great football. I think they're working against a lot more than the Eagles
are. Do you want to leave yourself a window where you can back out of this? It's 13 days.
Listen, in 10 days, if there's news, if there's a major development with the personnel or the coaching, of course I'm going to say that. Just right now, I've been watching the games. I think I just saw the best team in the world, and I think they were green.
They've been the best team all season, too. So
I'm not going out of my lane here. And it's not, I love the Chiefs. I really do. I love all they got going on. It's not anti-Chiefs. It's pro-Eagles. I think the Eagles are great. I do.
Can I do some Tony Romo? But Mahomes!
I don't know, Peter. What about Mahomes? I like Jalen Hurts, too. Mahomes is great. I think I like the Eagles more.
Like
unconventional.
It. There you go. I like it. All right, so let's focus with Ian Rapoport on first the 49ers, some of their head coaching decisions and where their defensive coordinator could be going, but then also elsewhere around the league and a team that we love to talk about here. What's going on, Ian?
We'll start with D'Amico Ryans, the 49ers defensive coordinator, still at this moment going to spend the morning meeting with players and general postseason kind of things, meetings, and gathering everything that has gone on after a very, very long season. But this actually could move quickly because the Houston Texans have identified D'Amico Ryans as their top choice to be their new head coach. My understanding is a second interview, a second meeting could happen as soon as this afternoon. And if all goes well, if the Texans and D'Amico Ryans decide to come together, which based on the people I've spoken with, that is the expectation, then maybe as early as tomorrow, he could officially be their new head coach. So expect a second meeting with D'Amico Ryans and the Texans at some point today, and then maybe an official hire mid this week or potentially even tomorrow. Meanwhile, for the Dallas Cowboys and Kellen Moore, about the opposite. They have parted ways mutually. This is something where Mike McCarthy is going to move in his own direction, hire his own people, could end up calling plays, which, of course, he has not done with Kellen Moore as the play caller for the Cowboys over the past couple years. And Kellen Moore could be on the move as well. Even before the news came out that these two sides were parting ways, the Chargers requested permission to speak with him. They are doing that. Would not be surprised if this accelerates quickly as well. He is a prime candidate to be Justin Herbert's OC in Los Angeles.
Well, he has been with the Cowboys, Kellen Moore has, since 2018, moved his way up, and now he is looking to go elsewhere. So we'll see where he lands. Rap Sheet, thank you very much. We know you'll let us know when it becomes permanent or even if you hear rumbling. So we appreciate you. All right, what do we make of the Cowboys and Kellen Moore parting ways, however you want to call it? The point is he's not calling their offense anymore next year. Kellen Moore could go somewhere else, Peter. But how do the Cowboys handle this now moving forward?
I think they were like the number one rated offense in the league, too. Like, they put up a ton of points. So it's not necessarily performance-based. You said he's been with them since 2018. He actually was there since 2015 because he was a player in 2015, right. 2016, 2017. So this is 8 years of Kellen Moore as, you know, a backup to Dak and then his offensive coordinator, then the play caller. I think what's fascinating about this is I think Mike McCarthy's like, all right, if my job is going to be on the line every single time I take a – put it on me. Okay. Now, I don't know what a Mike McCarthy offense looks like these days. We saw the Kellen Moore offense, and we saw what that was. He was the play caller. Now Mike McCarthy is most likely going to take over play calling, which is a big bite at the apple, but it's basically like, all right, I'm going all in on myself. Kellen will end up somewhere else. He'll be an OC somewhere else, no doubt, and he'll be fine, and that's that. And after 8 years in a place and you guys don't advance past a divisional round, it's time for a breakup. But I think the Mike McCarthy aspect of this is really interesting. The last time we saw Mike McCarthy calling plays was in Green Bay, and it wasn't always the most elaborate offense. So I'm curious to see what we get from Dallas. They were really good with Kellen Moore calling the plays. Let's see if they can get better addition by subtraction. And now Mike McCarthy saying, put it on me.
Yeah, it was crazy to me. You look at Kellen Moore, and he was interviewing for the Carolina Panthers head coaching job. Last year, he was a finalist for the Miami Dolphins head coaching job. So this is a guy that's a hot name, a commodity that people want. And now they're mutually parting ways. It's kind of like, I look at it and I'm like, all right, what was the relationship with Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy, but also with Dak Prescott, because he's their $40 million quarterback. And if you're letting the OC go, I got to assume that Dak's okay with it in a sense, because you don't want to ruffle those feathers and that type of relationship. But I'm with you, Peter. If I'm Mike McCarthy and everybody's going to blame me every time we get in the playoffs, if we don't run an offense the right way and they don't run the right play and it's a quarterback sneak or the quarterback draw last year with Dak Prescott, and then this year we're talking about the last play of the game and all these different things, like, well, hell, I'm just going to call the plays. I'm an offensive guy. That's why I got hired to be a head coach, was because of my play calling ability. So I'm going to do it myself and call the plays. And if it fails, I can look in the mirror and I can stand up here in the presser and say, well, I blew that call, this, that, and the third. So I understand it. And when you lose games the same way, somebody has to get the blame. That's why every year in NFL, the one thing we say is consistent is change. If you're not hoisting a trophy at the end, there's going to be change somewhere, somehow.
But the Cowboys are loath to do change. That's why I'm surprised by this, and in a way I'm impressed by this. Because I remember after they lost, Dak came out and said, you know, it's unacceptable. It's like, what do you mean? They accepted it last year. They accepted it the year before. They're going to accept it next year. What he means is they scored 12 points in a playoff game. Something has to happen. Yeah. You have to make change. You can't just say, I'll get him next year, because you never get him next year. You just don't. I still thought McCarthy might not be there anymore. So they had to make some kind of change. You can't let the dog go on the carpet and not stick his nose in it. And then you know what happens? goes on the carpet again. And that's what they've done, as we know, well documented since the mid-90s. So, look, is Kellen Moore getting blamed for this? Maybe. Is Mike McCarthy going to flounder next year when he's left to his own devices? Maybe. But to Peter's point, he's like, look, I'm a chef. I'll cook. I'm going to cook the damn food. And if you don't like it, then I'm out of here. Yeah. But I like the fact that the Cowboys didn't just simply run it back and say, we'll get him next year. I like that there was a change. There needed to be one.
Yeah, listen, these teams on any given game, season, regime, if you will, like the gears keep going. It just depends on if they click in and they start working together in order for a team to work. Like that obviously wasn't the thing that was working. But what I'm intrigued by is this Kellen Moore opportunity to potentially go to the Chargers. We're not saying it's happening, but like they're missing something in Los Angeles. The Chargers have all a very talented young quarterback. They have a bright, brilliant young head coach. They're not winning. They're not getting to the postseason. What is happening there? They're missing something. Is Kellen Moore it? That could be an opportunity for him because there was a knock on Kellen Moore when he graduated, if you will, from being a quarterback for the Cowboys to becoming the quarterback coach immediately. A year or two later, becomes offensive coordinator. The question kind of is he a good coach? Can he make a guy better? Well, here's your chance, Kellen Moore. Whether it is the Chargers or someone else, go and make a name for yourself. Prove that you are the reason. There is a good reason why you're wearing that headset and you're in charge of an offense. I think wherever he goes, he has to really turn a corner here from a coaching perspective, and he could really emerge as like, this isn't just a shoe-in. I was the Cowboys coach quarterback, so I'm going to become one of their coaches. I think it's a case of you got to go somewhere else to prove yourself.
And he was underneath two offensive coaches. So now if it is the Chargers or something like that, Staley being a defensive guy, he'll probably have it's his offense. Like now you go do
it. You realize he's 34 years old, born in 1988. I mean, like this is a young man. So he's still got a lot of coaching ahead of him. But I'd be curious because everyone's saying now L.A. and Ian had that earlier, and that's great. If Baltimore comes calling and Baltimore is like, would you want to be the offensive coordinator of Lamar Jackson? Would that not be interesting to see a little different version of Kellen Moore can bring with it?
Well, then it goes that here's the question. It's like, if you're going to start your franchise, do you want Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert as your quarterback? And thus the wheel continues.
If I'm the coordinator for the Ravens, am I coaching Lamar Jackson? Like,
that's fair too.
What's another question?
I don't know if I'm signing up yet. Yeah.
Were you saying the Chargers are definitely missing something? Yeah.
They're missing it.
Their star pass rusher was missing a few things this weekend, wasn't he? I think it was a few IQ points. Are you kidding me, Joe?
Bosa.
Are you kidding me? What's going on? I was getting our championship game balls. I mean, that was a rough appearance.
So you're not saying, if I just say Brant.
Yeah, I'm going to give my game ball to Joey Bosa.
Brant! Yes. Brant, you're just going to tee up?
I'm just going to immediately scream at you in the camera and talk about how rich I am. That was a rough look, Joey. Championship game balls. I'm giving mine to Joey Bosa. Had a great performance in Philadelphia. Right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Time now for GMFB Game Ball, where it feels like this ball becomes a lot more important. We're into Super Bowl territory, conference championship territory, top performers from the weekend. Guys, who earned your game ball from Championship Sunday? Peter, you get to go first.
Best player on the field in the Chiefs versus Bengals game was not an offensive superstar. It was not a wide receiver. It was not one of the two heralded quarterbacks. It was number 95 in red. Chris Jones gets my game ball.
Whoa.
unblockable player. They had him inside, they had him outside. And whereas we all just assumed, well, the Bills, you know, they couldn't really, you know, get to Burrow. So I guess the offensive line is great in Cincinnati. And those three injuries didn't really matter. Oh, no. Maybe Chris Jones is much better than anybody playing for the Bills. Mm. And maybe Chris Jones is a defensive player of the year finalist.
He looked like Derek Thomas.
He was unbelievable. He looked like Neil Smith and Derek Thomas in awesome. One. Came from the outside, came from the inside. He came into this game, and Romo and Nance documented it well. With zero career postseason sacks, he missed two key sacks opportunities in last year's NFC Championship game. He had the biggest plays. He was there in the biggest moment. Chris Jones, defensive player of the year finalist, saving his best for last. And now he's going to his third Super Bowl as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Congratulations.
It was awesome. That stat was crazy. The stat thing was nuts.
And after the game, he said, don't ever call their stadium Burrowhead. It will always be Arrowhead. And I love that part. And a lot of it had to do with his quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. And that's who I'm giving my game ball to. This guy, I doubted him. I thought the ankle, I didn't know if he'd have enough. The weapons around him going into the season, we all talked about it. And somehow or another, he always shows up. Started the game, a lot of quick passes. We saw him rolling to his left. He ends up coming up gimpy on the ankle, but he just kept going, play after play, throwing the ball a ton of times. This guy's in his sixth season. He is heading to his third Super Bowl. Kyle said it earlier, has never played a road playoff game, and that has to do with the way he plays all season long. This guy is tough. He gritted out that performance yesterday. There was never a doubt that he was going to be out there, and he got his team another victory, and they're heading to another Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, I am sorry that I ever doubted you.
Oh, you did not.
Awesome. He was really awesome. You know what else has been awesome? We've been watching this Brock Purdy Disney movie.
Experience. Yeah.
This beautiful young protagonist. And I just don't remember at the end of any Disney movies, the dimple-faced protagonist gets a chair broken over his head by a villain. That was what Hasan Reddick did in this game. Sorry, I got your Disney movie right here. This was a villain in the truest sense if you're a 49ers fan. He also kind of ruined our Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, the game was over. Oh, you know what's funny is that after he hit Purdy, he knocks Purdy out of the game. Two snaps later, he hits Josh Johnson for a massive loss on the second play of the next series. He just, ended the game basically in the first 5 minutes, and I don't blame him for a second. That is a bad dude. And you know what, Jay, you're coming off the Mahomes thing. Duck, chip, have help. He had an incredible performance, ruined our Sunday afternoons, ruined the Disney movie, but
don't put Noah Gray and Kelsey on Hasan Reddick.
Don't Noah Gray. Block Hasan Reddick.
What about our boy Jody Fortson?
I'll pass on that. What do you got?
In the same game, I'm gonna go big picture. Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni gets my game ball, but there is a specific moment that I was in love with. Okay, so Trent Williams pulls a guy down, right? What does Sirianni do? The entire Eagles team stays on the sideline because this man has complete control. He's like, guys, we're going to a Super Bowl. No one's getting kicked out. No one's getting fined. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn around and say, that's what we like to see. Let's go. This man has been controversial, let's say, with some of his sideline behavior.
Yeah.
I love it. Nick Sirianni, 2 years ago yesterday was your introductory press conference as a head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And 2 years ago, 2 years later, yesterday, you send yourself to the Super Bowl. I think that's awesome, Nick Sirianni.
It is awesome.
It is.
Awesome. I think that's also like, can we just talk about that moment in the game for a minute? We didn't focus on it because it's unsavory.
It's unsavory.
It got completely out of control at the end.
Yes.
Trent Williams lost his composure. Greg Olsen on the call says, Trent Williams has had enough. Yep. And maybe the biggest, strongest guy in the league is throwing people. And then you had this moment that felt NBA playoffs-like where you're like, who's leaving the bench? Could there be suspensions for the Super Bowl? It was a crazy moment, and Sirianni just jumped right into it. Nuts.
So the reason why I even thought to highlight that moment because I was at a local establishment, let's say, in New Jersey with a bunch of Eagles fans, and they all had the same thought, which is like, look, no one has left the Eagles sideline because they know they're going to win. They don't want to mess anything. Everyone from the 49ers is out there because, and then the one face you did see from the Eagles, because he was already there, was Ndamukong Suh, who just tweeted, like, I'm headed to Arizona. Yeah. The story for him going back to a Super Bowl, unbelievable. But I just found that Nick Sirianni, in that moment, his players doing what they knew best is a promotion of his job, because if they had behaved otherwise, it would have been his fault.
Can I just say something? Trent Williams is a bad man.
He threw that dude. Let's do it in a rat. No, that's it.
How about Trent Greenlaw?
I've never seen that before either.
Well, it would have been nice to see Sue and Trent Williams. If, I mean,
who you got? Octagon.
They just stared at each other.
I'm not choosing
Octagon.
That one.
No, exactly.
I'm like, Peter, I don't want to choose one. I'm not. I don't want to make either one of them angry. I want no part.
The official on the PA said both teams return to the sideline. You don't hear that much.
Yeah.
It got hairy fast. Right. Thank God it didn't get worse.
Exactly. All right, coming up. Both number one seeds are headed to the big game. We are going to break down the Super Bowl matchup next. We've been talking about the teams and how they got there, but now let's talk about the
Patriots.
Yay!
Go.
Ant-Man!
Got to promote Ant-Man.
We've
got to get to the games.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Selva out on the West Coast, I know you as somebody who claims Northern California as one of your own, probably a heartbreak day for you. I know that was tough to watch.
Listen, the Eagles are the top seed for a reason, right? And they showed us why they were on Sunday. Mm-hmm. This is what I will say, though. In the coming days, we're going to be hearing from debate shows and maybe talk radio shows where the Eagles, they will be subjected to constantly the chatter of you only beat a fourth-string quarterback and a third-string quarterback. It is going to galvanize the fan base, and it will galvanize the players. And if they beat Mahomes, they'll say, see, everybody thought we couldn't beat a real quarterback. That's my prediction.
Like
it,
there you go. Welcome back.
Figure why not. While we are on the subject of talking of the Eagles, why don't I continue to talk about them? Donna Kelsey, she is the mom of Jason and of Travis Kelsey as well. She appeared on NFL Now on Friday and said it would be a dream come true if her boys would be able to play against each other in the Super Bowl. Well, as we now know, that dream has become a reality. And the guys were talking about the special moment that lies ahead for them.
Yep, I got a Kansas City sweatshirt I'm going to wear for the next 3 hours, and then that's it for the rest of the year. Win or lose, I'm done being a Chiefs fan in 3 hours. So looking forward to seeing who wins that one. Two really good teams. Not trying to get my hopes up, but we'll see who we're playing.
Haven't talked to him yet, but cool scenario to be in. My mom can't lose. I'll just leave it at that. It's going to be an amazing feeling playing against him. And, obviously I respect everybody over there in the Eagles organization. And you won't see me talking too much trash because of how much respect and how much I love my brother. But it's going to be an emotional game. That's for sure.
They'll certainly be garnering a lot of attention on Super Bowl 57 opening night. 2 weeks talking about the Kelsey brothers. Kyle, just to inform you that Mike Trout is also an Eagles fan. And by the way, did you know Andy Reid coached in Philadelphia for 14 years? Mm-hmm. Just giving you the heads up. Letting you know. FYI, everybody.
Yeah. Jerome Bettis is from Detroit, too, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's incredible homecoming for him.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Will. Thank you.
Very good. Will, thank you. We appreciate you. So here you go.
Yep.
Those are the teams that are locked into Super Bowl 57. And you don't see the other Kelce brother in that photo, but I guess let's just mention that since we have a twin brother at the table here that has played in the Super Bowl himself with his brother.
Yeah, we were on the same team. I think it's cool. I think for me, obviously, we've talked about it. Those two will never go against each other in the game. But I am really excited for Donna Kelce. I remember going down to the Super Bowl playing it with my brother. There was a day where my mom came over to the team hotel and she had her own press conference where they asked her questions. I look forward to hearing from Donna Kelce talking about the two and their battles growing up. Did they fight each other a lot? How did they dream about this moment? It'll be really cool for the Kelce family in general.
Can we decide that we're not going to spend
You don't want to talk about the brothers?
I don't want to go that far.
Please, go ahead.
I think that if Travis Kelce was a defensive tackle, this is amazing. I think if Jason Kelce was a safety, this is amazing. And they will have direct Super Bowl combat against each other physically. I love this. These guys have both been in the league a long time. They're on opposite sidelines. There will be no interaction whatsoever in the game. It's just this fun thing where they're brothers and we like both of them. But there's really not much else to it. I think it's so low-hanging fruit.
I contend. I have an argument.
What do you got? Tell me. I'm open. What do you got?
We ooh and ah over Eli and Peyton. And we are like, oh, my God. Eli's on the table. These guys are as big of personalities as Eli and Peyton. We did the Manning Bowl. I remember when they played week one, probably 10 years ago. What was that? It was on NBC. And it was like, oh, my God, their face. And these guys are almost bigger, more unique personalities with what they say, and they actually talk trash to each other. And I think if we're going to do it for the McCourties, which we did, and we loved it. You guys were teammates.
Damn right we did.
And we were going to do it for the Mannings.
We're going to do what? What do you want to do?
Acknowledge
with this
thing? It. Like, you don't even want to talk
about
it.
Acknowledging it right now.
Two brothers who grew up in the same house.
What is the next segment we do about
the chances of this happening? Like,
what do you got?
My take is that they host a podcast together and they have this whole great thing. And that the two
of them. Are we knocking
And that they're going to have bragging rights for the rest of their lives. These two brothers who are obviously very close.
What jersey is the family going to wear?
They go half and half jersey. It's incredible.
You got to go get it drawn up.
We did the Barber Brothers. We did Tiki and Ronda. I guess they played against each other.
What are you talking about?
As a media, why can't these guys get the same?
They are. Just like, let's get it out of here. I don't understand what the next segment is we do after we say, they're brothers. This is really interesting. They have a mother. Like, what is the next segment? We've done this for years. They've already told all their childhood stories.
Can't you say, like, who's going to have the bigger impact?
No. We've already told all their childhood stories. We know the first time they got in a fight. We know the first time Travis beat them in the basketball court. They've told these stories. This is nothing new. They're out there. You can go.
All right, fine.
It's all there.
If you don't want to do this, then the second that there is this unbelievable shot that puts a bow on a Super Bowl where one is crying tears of happiness and the other one is crying and they are consoling each other, you don't get to show it and you don't get to talk about it and you don't get to roll sound from it.
I'm okay with that. Absolutely fine with that. Jamie, I hear you. I'm okay with it.
You can put your own embargo on it, but don't put it on the rest of us.
I actually love you for this because I think every other show is going to do the whole, you know, very earnest, like,
so are we.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys know where I'm coming from?
100%.
Yes. You don't understand where I'm coming from? This is so rote and so stock.
Why do you have to work so hard to convince me that this is a
bad idea? We're trying to be an original show with original ideas.
I do from this perspective. The year me and Dev went, by the end of those 2 weeks, it was like, my goodness. Yes. Like,
you guys are brothers.
We're both in the Super Bowl. We talked about it for the whole first week. And then you're there media night on a Monday night, and we're still talking about it. Now, of course, in that spotlight, you run with it because all the eyeballs are on you. But I'm like, there's no way they can still be asking about us.
You're sick of hearing about it because people not like him actually followed through on asking about the storyline. He's asking to not do it 13 days in advance. He doesn't even want to touch it.
Jamie, I really think I speak for the people at home that they're like, we get it. They're brothers. Like, this is not a me thing. I think there's a lot of people who understand that the Kelces are brothers, and we're addressing it. We're now doing 5-6 minutes on it, but I just don't see what's new. I love both these guys.
I want to talk about it, maybe not for 2 weeks, but I want to talk about it.
What do you want to say? Say it.
There's people outside of the Kansas City and the Philadelphia fan base that don't maybe know who
Jason Kelce is.
To a certain extent, where now you get to hear some of those stories. You get to laugh with them and enjoy the moment. Yeah. They may not know that Donna Kelce traveled to both games a year ago. Okay. So now they get to hear it again.
I do appreciate it. We are a show that prides itself on being asymmetric.
We're trying.
There's different perspectives on the table.
Different takes. You earlier in the season said, I'd rather not talk about the Cowboys at the moment. And that got a big blowback because everyone talks about the Cowboys at the moment.
It's not a me thing.
It's not a you thing. It's our show thing. And it's, do we want to just do what everyone else does and go, Kelce Bowl! Mm-hmm. I hear you on that.
Sorry to be a grump.
I think they're pretty good personalities.
They're great personalities. Yeah.
They've been celebrated for years and will continue to be. I just end the point with this.
You know what's
an incredible matchup. I love both these guys. We've told the stories for you. I just don't want to spend the next 2 weeks talking about, can we talk about the fact that they're brothers? Let's talk about the fact that the Eagles and the Chiefs are both the one seed and they're both great teams and it'll be a great game. The brother thing is just cutesy, low-hanging fruit, and we just picked it.
You know what's going to be original content is I'm just going to lay these stories on you so thick for the next 2 weeks.
That's
and
your prerogative,
like that. I'm going to have that little box just on your reaction face because you're going to have to sit here and listen to it.
If they're good, I can't wait.
The stories?
If they haven't been told, I can't wait.
That's a challenge, Jamie, because I'll tell you what.
Right.
The New York Times, the Washington Post,
right.
ESPN, we're going to get a lot of it. So I don't want to hear you doing some story that someone else wrote about. You got to find your own, Jamie.
I trust you.
You would make a great point. You bring it up one day. Like tomorrow, if we want to do another segment on the Kelce
You're
brothers.
Keeping.
I want to talk about it, but to his point, if tomorrow, what would the question,
fresh.
What would the tee up
be fresh.
If tomorrow we said, all right, we want to hit on the Kelce brothers in this segment? Mm-hmm. What would the tee up
I want to know who the producer of their podcast is. I want to know things like that. I want things that no one else is discussing.
Mm-hmm. So then we're allowed to talk about
it. Yes.
Yeah, fresh. Yes, fresh. And not what everyone else is saying. Childhood photos, there they are. Like, we've done all of that. These guys are not new players in the league. They've been in the league for years, both of them. We've covered all of it. So fresh content, asymmetrical, that's what we will do on GMFB.
Okay, great.
This.
Great. We were asked to say our first impressions of Super Bowl 57. That was it. That was our first impression. Here we go. The Pro Bowl games presented by Verizon are almost here. They're new, and I think we're all pretty excited to find out what they're going to be about. Watch the Manning brothers face off. The Manning brothers, Kyle, as they coach the best in the league. Even catch a special live concert performance from Ray Sremmurd.
I want the Chromatica brothers to come out for the Pro Bowl games.
Limited tickets still available Sunday, February 5th, 12 p.m. Pacific time at Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas. Visit ProBowl.com/tickets to buy your tickets today. Kyle, you're going to be there, right?
Yes, I am.
Hanging out with the Manning brothers.
I'm going to Las Vegas. Anytime there's a major event with brothers playing in, I'm there. And Kelce's, McCourty's, Manning's. Yes, I'm going there. I'm going to get into all kinds of hijinks, guys, I promise. You want hijinks, though. The Cincinnati mayor... We know him. That's kind of like the people's mayor at this point. Yeah, he had some major drama with his tweets before the game about a paternity test, and Burrow is Mahomes' father. So Travis Kelce, brother of Jason, responded post-game last night.
How about this beautiful trophy, huh? Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni. You gotta fight for your right to fight!
You know the song.
No.
All right, that's incredible. If you didn't stay up for that, know your role, shut your mouth, you jabroni, and then a Beastie Boys reference after it. Peter, you like it?
I love it. I mean, the Kelce brothers, they do it for me, man.
I love the Kelce brothers. Anytime you can talk about family and football and put them together,
that's all about,
we have 2 weeks to be able to talk about that. I'm going to need a T-shirt with Travis and Jason on both sides, and I'm wearing that for the whole week of the Super Bowl. That's the only matchup I want to talk about.
If you covered a lot of Super Bowls, there's the great tradition of the storylines that are just beaten to a pulp. Mm. And this one could be a first ballot Hall of Famer because the game's been over for 20 minutes and we've already done 3 segments.
I have an idea.
The fact that there's brothers in this game.
I'm going to unearth new Kelce brothers stuff. You have to come up with original thoughts from other people because if you think it's going to be beaten to a pulp, then you have to come up with brand new stuff.
I'll get right on. I'll put it on TikTok. Check me out on TikTok.
Did you know that Travis Kelce played quarterback?
I did. Do you know Jim and John Harbaugh were brothers when they coached? Snap
it. You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.